Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Not yet. Okay. Today's daf is daf Yudalid. We had gotten up to the two dots on daf Yud Gimel and Beis. The Mishnah at the beginning here of the second chapter, it introduced the concept of interrupting in the middle of Kriyat Shema. So let's start at the two dots on Yud Gimel and Beis. The Mishnah at the beginning of the second chapter had mentioned that there's an argument about the laws of interrupting in Kriyat Shema. According to the view of Rabbi Meir, there's no difference between initiating and responding. And so between paragraphs, Rabbi Meir says you can initiate a greeting, a wishing of well for those that you need to honor. In the middle of a, and you can respond to those that you need to honor. In the middle of a paragraph, you can't initiate for those you need to honor, but you may initiate for those that you fear. I gave the example yesterday of certain tough guys. You know, if you're in the room with Vladimir Putin, so he took the Super Bowl ring off of the fingers of the owner of the Patriots, and he just Bob Kraft, and just kept it. So you fear the guy. He may not even be Russian. You fear the guy. So if you're saying Shema, and he walks in, you say hello. That's someone you need to fear. So in the middle of a paragraph, you're allowed to initiate for those you fear, and respond to those you fear. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, there's no difference between initiating and responding. Rabbi Yehuda, though, says you can always respond to a level lower than those you can initiate to. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that in between paragraphs, you initiate to those you honor, and you respond to everyone. In the middle of a paragraph, you initiate to those you fear, and you can respond to those you honor who've initiated to you. So that was the Mishnah. Let's see now the two dots, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Rabbi Meir says, in between the paragraphs, you can initiate for the sake of honoring, and you can respond. So the Gemara just figures this out that I just mentioned. Meishim machmas mai, responding because of what? In other words, responding to who? Ilim b'nei hakavod, if Rabbi Meir is saying that between the paragraphs, you can initiate because of honor, and you can even respond to because of honor. I don't even need the response lesson. Hash to Mishal Shal. If you can initiate because of honor, Adum Mibayah, certainly you can respond because of honor. Ella, rather, what does it mean? Shoel Mipnei HaKavod. You can initiate because of honor. Umeshav Shoel Mulchal Adum. You can respond to anyone, even those you don't need to honor. Ema Sefa, then read the next line. Uva Ems, in the middle of a paragraph, of Meir says, Shoel Mipnei Yira. He initiates because of fear. Umeshav, and responds. Meshav Machbas Mai, responding because of what? If you're going to tell me it means responding because of fear, Hashem Mishal Shal, if you could start and initiate and ask how he's doing because you fear him, Adur Mibay, is it even a question you can respond because of fear? Ela Mipnei HaKavod, what does it mean? You can initiate because of fear. Respond even to those you just need to honor. Then it's the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda. Then Heinrich Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Meir is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda. Did not, because we learned in the Mishnah, the next line, Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'em Seshom Mipnei Yira. In the middle of a paragraph, he initiates to those he needs to fear. Umeshev Yipnei HaKavod, he can respond even just to those he needs to honor. Uvaprakim, in between paragraphs, Shom Yipnei HaKavod, he initiates for those he's supposed to honor. Umeshev Shom L'chalad, and he responds to everyone. So Gemara says, you're right. Chesura Michsura, there are words missing. Hachi Katani, this is really the way to read the Mishnah. But prakim, between the paragraphs, Shom Yipnei HaKavod, he initiates to those he needs to honor. He says hello. And he responds to those that he needs to honor. And really what the words that should be said in the Mishnah is, this is something which is not necessary to say. It's obvious. It's obvious. If he can initiate to those he needs to honor, he can respond to those he needs to honor. But that's it. That's Rabbi Meir saying something which is not necessary to say. But that's what he's saying. He's saying that you can respond to those you need to honor, not that you can respond to any person. But hence, in the middle of a paragraph, Shom Mipnei Yira, he can initiate to those that he fears. And it's really not necessary to say it, but that's what's going on. He can also respond to those that he needs to fear. Tiver Rabbi Meir, this is the view of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir does not distinguish between initiating and responding. Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between initiating and responding. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bams in the middle of a paragraph, Shoal Mipnei Ayira. He can initiate to those that he needs to fear. Umeshim Mipnei HaKavod. But he can respond even to those he just needs to honor. Rabbi Prakim, between paragraphs, Shoal Mipnei HaKavod. He initiates to those he needs to honor. Umeshim Shoal Mechal Adam. He can respond with a hello, with wishes of peace to regular people, even those people he doesn't need to honor. And in fact, says the Gemara, that's the correct explanation, because we have another source, a Braisa, which said the same. Tanya, Nami Hachi, and a Braisa was also taught this exact same way. Braisa says, Akoria Shema, if someone's reading Shema, Upaga Bo Rabo, in the middle of reading Shema, he meets up with his Rebbe walks into the room, his Torah teacher, a gadol emenu, or someone who is a greater scholar than he is. There's a mitzvah to honor those that know more than we do. Piprakim, if he's in the middle of paragraphs of Shema, Shalom ipnei hakavod, he should initiate and say, hello, Rebbe, Shalom alecha, Rebbe. Ain't sarach lomar, and I don't even need to tell you, this is obvious. Shehu meshiv, if the Rebbe didn't realize he was saying Shema, and the Rebbe said to him, hello, student, he should respond, he should say, yes, hello. Uvehemts, in the middle of a paragraph, Shoel, he's supposed to initiate, not to the Torah teacher. He initiates to those that he fears. And Sarach Lomar, and certainly, Shehu Meshiv, he can respond to those that he fears. And that's different Rabbi Meir. That's different Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is not distinguishing between initiation and response. However, Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bamsa, in the middle of a paragraph, Shoel Mipnei Ayira, he asks, initiates hello to those that he fears. Umeshim ibn Yaakovod, he can respond even to the Torah scholar, even to the person who knows more than him, than his teacher. He can respond to those that he needs to honor. Uba prakim, in between the chapters, Shoel ibn Yaakovod, he can initiate to those that he wants to honor, needs to honor. Umeshim shalom l'chol adam, and he can respond with good wishes and the word shalom to every person. So we have an argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, you can initiate between paragraphs to those you need to honor. You can also respond to those you need to honor between paragraphs. In the middle of a paragraph, you can initiate to those you need to fear. You can respond to those you need to fear, but you cannot respond to those you need to honor in the middle of a paragraph. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the response is always a little bit more broad, a little bit more lenient than the initiation. You can initiate to those you need to fear in the middle of a paragraph, but you can respond to those you need to honor and to those you need to fear. And between paragraphs, you can initiate to those you need to honor and you can respond to everyone. Who's the halacha like? Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. In between paragraphs, you can initiate to those you need to honor and respond to everyone. In the middle of a paragraph, you can initiate to those you fear and respond to those you need to honor.
And all this we're talking about Ben Afrakim only.
And Be'emtza Perek.
Be'emtza
Perek. Mipnei Ayira Mipnei HaKavod. Shoel Mipnei Ayira Mishiv Mipnei HaKavod. Okay, so now we go on to another topic, and that is we've been discussing interrupting Kriyat Shema. What about other things that we say? Hallel. Reading Megillah. Can you interrupt Hallel or reading Megillah for those who need a fear, for those who need an honor? Ba'amine Achi Tana Debe Rabbi Chiya. Achi, that was his name. He was a Tana. What does it mean, a Tana? He used to keep reviewing Brisos. They would say, oh, anyone know a Brisa about a topic? He'd say, I know, and he would say it. So where was he this teacher? In the yeshiva of Rabbi Chiya. He was in the house of Rabbi Chiya, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Chiya. So Achi asked the following question, Mir Rabbi Chiya of Rabbi Chiya. Bahalu v'megillah ma'u shiyafsik. Is he also to interrupt when he's saying Hallel or when he's reading Megillas Esther on Purim? Do we say, Mi'aminu kal v'chomer? Maybe we'll say, certainly he should interrupt. And we'll say it's logic that teaches us he should interrupt. Kriyat Shema's d'oraisa. There's a biblical obligation to read Shema. The Torah says, V'dibarta bam, v'shiftecha b'veisecha, v'lechtecha v'aderech, uveshach b'cha v'kumecha. You should say these words when you wake up, when you go to sleep. And therefore, and even so we interrupt, posek, Hallel, which is only drabanan, halal to say halal on Pesach or on Sukkos or on Hanukkah or rabbinic law. So certainly you interrupt. Hibay isn't even a question. Odomar, maybe no. Halal and reading Megillah, these are to publicize miracles. And Pirsumei Nisadiv, and maybe the publication and making well aware to all of a miracle is even greater than a biblical mandate, and therefore you can't interrupt halal. So this is the question that Achi asked Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya said, Amar Lei Posek, in halal you can interrupt. Vein Bekach Klum, and there's no problem. So certainly in halal, according to Reb Chiya, you can interrupt. It's not a problem to interrupt in halal to those you need to honor and to those you need to fear. However, now we're going to see that a later Amora felt differently. Amar Rabba, Rabba said, it really depends on which day. Yamim Shayachid Gomer Ben Esahalel. Rabba said like this, there are two types of saying halals. There are days that we say the whole halal. The first day of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, Shavuos, Pesach night, Hanukkah. So when we say the whole halal, there's an obligation on each person to say the whole halal. So then Rabba holds on days that you have to, that each individual says the whole halal. Bein perek leperek posik. Between chapters of halal, he can interrupt. Be'emtza perek eino posik. But in the middle of a chapter, he's not allowed to interrupt. However, yam she'ena yachid gomer ben esa halal, then there are days that we leave out 22 verses. We leave out ahavti, we leave out lolanu. That's on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed Pesach. So in those days where the individual does not complete the whole Hallel, then already afilu be'emtza perek posek, then he can interrupt even in the middle of a paragraph. Eini is this so, Rav Bar Shva, we have a story. Rav Bar Shva, Rav the son of Shva, ikla gabed Ravina. He once came before Ravina. So Ravina was davening and he walked in. Yom Shena Yachid Gomer Ben Esa Halal. It was probably a Rosh Chodesh. It was a day that you don't complete the whole halal. And Ravina was saying this partial halal, lo pasiklei. And Ravina didn't interrupt for Rav Bar Shva. So you see that even when you're not completing the whole halal, even when it's just a partial halal, you can't interrupt. Because if Ravina would have been allowed to interrupt, he would have interrupted for Rav Bar Shva. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Shiny Rav Bar Shva, lo chashav lei Ravina. Really, you could interrupt when you're not saying the full halal. But you interrupt for those that you're supposed to honor. Rav Bar Shva was not someone that Ravina thought he should honor. Rav Bar Shva didn't consider Ravina someone who knew anything more than he did. So he didn't want to interrupt him. He was just a contemporary. But maybe Rabba is right. And as Rabba says, there's a difference between the days in which we have to say the complete Hallel and days in which we only say a partial Hallel. Days in which we say a partial Hallel, we interrupt. Days in which we say a complete halal, we interrupt between chapters, but we don't interrupt in the middle of a chapter. Yes? Right. This is the big Tosos here. Yeah, Tosos quotes the Ma'aser Vitri, said not to make a bracha on the partial halal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I still can...
Ben Aprakim. Right, but that's all considered within a parak. That's within a parak, right? Between the prakim, between the first bracha and the second, and between the second bracha and Shema, and between Shema and Vahaya. Good, so that completes the discussion about halal. All right, next discussion.
Rabbi?
Please, yeah.
Are we interrupting the tefillah because they're going to feel disrespected, or because we're supposed to interrupt?
I think it's kavod. With respect, it's because they're going to feel disrespected. Kavod, it's because there's mitzvah to give kavod.
So these interruptions, right, for someone that's a vessel, you know, greater than you in learning,
mm-hmm.
they for sure would want you to be.
they can be mochel, they're kavod.
So you're not supposed to interrupt.
If you know that they're mochel, then for sure you shouldn't interrupt. Now the next discussion, off the topic of interruptions of Shema and of Hallel, and this is a new question, a question of do you make a bracha on gum? Because when you just chew gum, you're not swallowing anything. So maybe that's not called eating anything. That's just a taste. So, by mine asian, asian. It was another person. Like it was Achi was a Tana, Asian was a Tana. So Asian, who was a Tana, he was in the yeshiva of Rav Ami. So Asian asked a question to Rav Ami. He asked a question of Rav Ami. Ashori b'tana, somebody who's in a fast day. Let's say he said, I want to fast today. So he accepted on himself a fast. Ma'u shiyitom, is he allowed to taste something? When we say that there's a fast, what does that mean? That means nothing in the mouth? Or maybe it means no eating, but a taste is okay. Maybe he accepted on himself not to eat and drink. This is a taste. The taste is not eating and drinking. Maybe he accepted not to get any benefit. Now he's getting benefit even with the taste. Amarle, Reb Ami answered, Asiyan, Toim, Vein, Bekach, Klum. He can taste and there's no problem at all. Tanya, Meyach, Yoslund, in a Braisa, Mat Emes. A woman who's cooking and she wants to taste the soup, make sure there was enough salt in it. Einatuna bracha, doesn't need a bracha. And that's why many poskim say you don't make a bracha on gum. Because it's just a taste, you don't make a bracha. Hashari betanis, someone who's in a fast day, toim vein bekachlum, you can have a taste and there's no problem. Ad kama, how much is a taste? So, Rabami v'Ravasi, Tami ad shiura d'Raviyasa. So Rabami and Ravasi, they would both taste up till a revius of a log. Up to a revius. That's already still a taste. More than that is already more than a taste, and then you need a bracha. Amar Rav, Rav said, another law. Kol anosein shalom l'chaveiro kodem sheyispalel ki'ilu asa Obama. Any person who goes over to his friend and says, shalom aleicha, peace on you, before he davens, that's as if he's made his friend into an altar. And there's an element here of denial of God. Because the first thing in the morning should be to talk to God. To use what is really a very special honorific, Shalom. Shalom is a name of God. To use a name of God to a human being before I've appealed to God is disrespecting God. Like we saw before, Lo Socho Al Adam, you're not allowed to eat before you daven. You're not allowed to say Shalom to someone before you daven. What's the verse that teaches us this? Shenemar, what's the scriptural source? The verse says, Chidu lachem mina adam. Stop, you guys, from the person, asher neshama ba'apo, who has a soul in his breath, in his nose, in his nostrils. Ki bameh nechshavu. For why is he prominent? And what is he prominent? So don't read it al tikri, don't read it as bameh, and what? El abama. But you're making him into a bama. Stop from that person. You should be davening to Hashem now. Stop from going to that person. What you're making him Obama if you're going to him and saying to him Shalom. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, no, read the verse literally. Don't change it from Bameh to Bama. That to say that Bama Nechshavu, he's considered a Bama. Bameh Yishavto L'zeh, in what have you made this person so honorable? V'lo le'elokan, you're not making God the one who's honorable. Masiv Rav Sheshes challenged this. You're saying that we're not allowed to say shalom to a friend. But our Mishnah says that a person comes in, right, Ben Aprakim of Kriyat Shema. Somebody came in when you're in Shema. Now, what do you do first? Do you say Shmoneh Esrei or you say Shema first in the morning? You say Shema in the morning. And it says somebody comes in and you're in the middle of Shema, you say hello. If it's somebody you fear, even in the middle of a paragraph, you say shalom. So you see, you can't say shalom before you daven. So Master Rav Sheshes challenged us. We learned in our Mishnah, but Prakim between chapters, Shalom ipnei hakavod. You seek out the welfare of those you're supposed to honor. Umeshiv, you respond to them. They said Shalom to you. You say Shalom back. I understand. It's before davening. It's before Shemona Esrei. So Tirgum Rav Abba explained this lesson that Rav said that it's so terrible to say Shalom to someone else before you daven Shemona Esrei. Is b'mashpul lepischo. Is if you make a point of getting up early to go to his doorway to say shalom to him. If you're davening and he walks in, okay, that's one thing. But if you go out of your way to greet him, that's already bamenech shavu or bama chashavto. You made him into a bama. Skipping the parentheses, I'm Rav Yidi Bar Avin, I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Asiyan. Rav Yidi Bar Avin said in the name of Rav Yitzchak, the son of Asiyan. Similar law. A person's not allowed to take care of his own matters before he prays Shmoneh Esrei. Shenamar, the verse says, Tzedek lefanav yahaleich, justice will walk before him. In other words, what's justice? Prayer, Shona Esrei. And then v'yasim laderech pa'amav, and then he puts his feet to the path. He goes on his way to do his things, to take care of his business after he davens. First he should daven. What's that?
It's contradiction. We just learned the word. You should say hello.
Right, but that's someone who's coming to you. That's not that you're going out to him.
They came
to you. Then you say hello. But if you are if you have business to do, you want to go out and take care of things. First, you daven, then you go out and take care of things.
Sure.
Another lesson from Rav Idi Bar Avin, the name of Rav Yitzchak Bar Asiyon. Call him a spalo v'acharkach yotzi l'derech. If somebody does it right. First thing in the morning is he daven Shmoneh Esrei. That's the first thing he does. Then he goes out to do his business. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Lo Chafatzav. Then God will do for him whatever he wants. Shenamar, as the verse says, Tzedek Lefanav Yahaleich. If justice will walk before him, in other words, before he does anything, he says God is just and he prays to God, he accepts God. Then V'yasim L'derech Pamav. God will put his feet on the path. God will take care of him. God will make him successful. Okay. Now a new lesson. We're going to have two explanations of a verse. Rabbi Yonah, son of the name of Rabbi Zera. Kalalan shivas yam below chalom nikra ra. Anyone who sleeps 7 days without a dream is called a bad person. Because God visits people and gives them messages and dreams. So this person went 7 days without a dream. That's a bad person. Shanam, as it says, V'savea yalin bal yipakeid, ra? The sated, the full person will sleep. He's not visited. He's bad. Al tikra savea, don't read it as someone who's full. El asheva, if he sleeps the 7 days without being visited with a dream, he is ra. Now the Hasidim interpret this homiletically. They say the 7 days is a reference to the 70 years of a person's life. A person goes through the 70 years of life and he doesn't have any dreams. He's not visited by any inspiration, just goes through life without any spirituality. He's called Ra. Okay, but that's not literally what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara says if a person has a week of no dreams, he's bad. Amalei Rav Acha, Breid Rav Chia Bar Abba, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Chia Bar Abba, said, Achim Rav Chia, Am Rav Yochlan, this is what Rav Chia said, Rav Yochlan. Different way to read the verse. Kol HaMazbiya Atzma Yudivrei Torah. Anyone who is sated, not Sheva Yolin, but yes, Saveya. Somebody who fills himself with divrei Torah, from words of Torah, v'lan. Then he goes to sleep. They won't tell him any bad news. Because if he's filled with Torah when he goes to sleep, then he won't have bad dreams. Shenamar, that's what the verse says. We learned from the verse. The Saveya, if he's sated when Yalin, when he goes to sleep, not that he won't be visited and therefore he's bad. He won't be visited with bad. He won't be told anything bad because he has filled himself with words of Torah. All right, going back to the Mishnah had an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir whether one is allowed to respond differently than those he's allowed to initiate to between the chapters and in the middle of a chapter of Shema. Eloin ben Aprakim, the Mishnah lists the different between the chapters. What are the between the chapters? Between the first blessing and the second blessing. Between the second blessing and the first paragraph of Shema. Between the first paragraph and the second paragraph. Between the second paragraph and the third paragraph. Between the third paragraph and Emes V'yatziv. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on that last point. He says between the third paragraph and Emes V'yatziv, you're not allowed to interrupt. Amar Rabbavo, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbavo, Sanim, Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar said, Bein Elokeichem la'emes v'yatziv lo yafsik, between those, the end of the third paragraph. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And then the words, emes, you're not allowed to have interruption at all, you have to continue right in. Amar Bavo and Rabbi Yochanan, my time, my old Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan, what was the source of Rabbi Yehuda? Why did he know? How did he know? What was the pasuk, the verse that says, you can't have an interruption between Hashem Elokeichem and the words, emes. The Siv is based on a verse. The verse says, Vashem Elokim Emes. Hashem, the Lord, is truthful. So therefore, there shouldn't be any interruption between Hashem Elokeichem and Emes. So I saw that the Rosh Yeshiva of Rav Meir Shapiro's Yeshiva, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, the author of the book Eretz Tzvi, who was unfortunately killed in Majdanek al Kiddush Hashem by the Nazis, Yemach Shemam. So he asked in his book Eretz Tzvi, He said, why, if it's so important to have the word emes, why didn't Hashem write it in the Torah? Hashem could have said, Hashem Elokech, ani Hashem Elokechem emes. So important. He said, no, you have to have the word emes. So let Hashem write it. Or you have to say it. So why didn't Hashem say it? So he said, we're learning Seder Zrayim, the order of agricultural law. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Zrayim is hinted in the word, in the verse in Yeshaya, emunas, because a farmer is ma'amin biborei olam v'zoreah. He believes in the creator of the world and he plants. So he suggested maybe what that means is that many times there's all sorts of natural processes. You put a seed in the ground, it grows. So a person relies on nature. But the nature of Seder Zrayim is to teach us that really it's God who's doing it. It's not nature, it's all the handiwork of God. Whatever happens in nature, that's just a mask. Really, it's a gift from God. And that's what Zrayim teaches us. That the natural is really from God. So really, Hashem Elokeichem, God is your Lord. He's running everything. That's the MS. That's the truth. But the truth is hidden. It's hidden because there's a mask that makes it look like it's nature. And we need to put in that truth. We need to put in the word MS to say, no, really, whatever seems to be natural is not really natural. It's really the handiwork of God. Okay, so you say Hashem Elokim, MS. All right, now do you repeat the word MS? Chozer v'omer emes. Now you wait for the chazan. Then the chazan says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem emes. Now do you say again, emes v'yatziv? Oh, eino chozer v'omer emes. So do you not repeat the word emes? Amar Rabavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chozer v'omer emes. Rabavo says, Rabbi Yochanan, you do repeat the word emes. Rabba Amar Rabba says, eino chozer v'omer emes. Rabba says, you do not repeat the word emes. So when the chazan gets you to start, emes v'yatziv, you just say v'yatziv, you don't say the word emes again. So an argument, according to Rabbi, you don't repeat the word emes. According to Yochanan, you do. Ahu, there was this fellow, Denachas Kamei the Rabbah. He went down in front of Rabbah. What do you mean he went down? Because remember, we said before that when someone is a chazen, he's supposed to be in a lower step. To fulfill the verse, in the depths, I called out to you, Hashem. So he was in front of Rabbah, and he went down to a lower step. Shamei Rabbah, Damar, Emes, Emes, Trezili. So Rabbah heard that he was saying the word Emes twice. He said the word Emes himself, so the word Emes is part of the blessing. Amar Rabbah, Rabbah said, I don't believe you repeat the word Emes. Called Emes, Emes, Tafsalahai. It seems like the word Emes got stuck in this guy's brain. He keeps saying the word Emes, Emes. Emes caught him. It's not right. You should just say the word Emes once, according to Rab. Okay.
Who do we hold that?
Rab.
Rab, so we.
Do not repeat.
What about Hashem, after that?
We say the word Emes right away, like Rabbi Yehuda. You can't have a break between Hashem and Okay from the word Emes. You can't even break with time right away. Rav Yosef said, Kama Malia Hai Shmaitza. How wonderful is the following lesson? It's wonderful. In other words, it's very innovative. It's creative. It's amazing. What was this lesson? The Chiyasa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar. When Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda came from the land of Israel to Bavel, he said like this, Amri B'mar Rav, on the land of Israel, they have a problem. During Mariv, are they going to say all three paragraphs of Shema? The third paragraph talks about tzitzis. Tzitzis doesn't apply at night. So in the land of Israel in the West, they do the following. They break up the third paragraph. They say, Dabro b'nei Yisrael v'amartza aleihem. And then instead of the next pasuk, Vasulam tzitzis, they don't say Vasulam tzitzis. And then just skip to the very end. Ani Hashem Elokeichem emes. It's amazing. Creative. They break up a paragraph. Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yosef, my Mal Yusuf, why is this a good idea? Why is this such an amazing, innovative idea? From Rav Kahana Marav, didn't Rav Kahana say in the name of Rav, one of the earliest Amoraim, Lo Yatzchil? He said, you don't have to start the third paragraph during the Shmav Marit, because at night you don't really have to wear tzitzis, so you don't have to talk about tzitzis. But if you did start going, you have to finish. But if you're going to tell me what's so innovative is that V'amarta Lehem Lo Hav Yatzchala, that just say, Darbel Bnei Yisrael V'amarta Lehem, that's not called starting yet. V'asu would have been to have started. But that's not true. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said the name of Rav. Darbel Bnei Yisrael Lo Aviyatchal. If he just says Darbel Bnei Yisrael, then you haven't started yet. But if you said V'amarta Aleihem Aviyatchal, it is a start. So Rav Papa said, Kasavi Ma'arav in the West, they hold, in Israel they hold, V'amarta Aleihem Nami Lo Aviyatchal. If you just say Darbel Bnei Yisrael V'amarta Aleihem, those five words, that's not yet beginning the paragraph. So that's why they could choose not to finish it. Adam or Vasulem Tzitzis. Until you've said Vasulem Tzitzis, it's not a beginning. And that's what's so novel, that they disagree with Rav on this point. Okay. Amar Abaye Abaye said, therefore, Anan, Atchuli Matchulino. When we are saying Shema at night in Maariv, we have to start the third paragraph. To come Atchuli B'Maarava, because even in Israel, where they wouldn't say it, they would start a little bit of it. But we don't. We agree with the second idea of Rav. We agree also that once you said Vamar Tzalem, you have to finish the whole thing. So therefore, came with Atchulino. Once we start Mikmar Nami Gamrinon, we also finish. Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav, because Rav Kahana said in the name of Rav, Lo Yatzchol, don't start the third paragraph. But Vim Yitzchol, but if you started the third paragraph, Gomer, he has to complete it. Okay. Chia Barav said, Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem, if he says the third paragraph and he says Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Tzarech Lomar Emes, he has to say Emes right away. Lo Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem, but if he chose not to say the third paragraph because it's night, Eino tzarech lomar emes. And he doesn't have to say emes, because he doesn't have the words ani Hashem Elokeichem. He doesn't have to say that whole paragraph of emes v'emuna. So I'm going to say, 1 second. V'abay lit kur yitzias mitzrayim. But there's a mitzvah, as we learned in the Mishnah, of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim balelos, mentioning at night that God took us out of Egypt. So if I'm not going to say the third paragraph of Shema, where am I mentioning that God took us out of Egypt at night? And I didn't say emes v'emuna. So answer the Gemara. There's a new thing you can say. So Amarachi can say the following. A new Zachir Sitzias Mitzrayim. Modem Anachim Lecha Hashem Elokeinu. We are thankful to you, God, our Lord. So it's a son of Meretz Mitzrayim that you took us out of Egypt. Uvdi son of Yibes Avadim and redeemed us from the house of the slaves. Vasisalanu Nisim Ugvuros Alayam. And you did for us miracles and mighty acts on the sea. Vesharnu Lach. And we sang to you. And that's it. Just those three lines is enough. Then the Mishnah taught us about the order of the paragraphs of Shema. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha said, we say the first paragraph first because it's the context to accept the yoke of heaven. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, God is our Lord, God is one. We're going to listen to whatever He tells us to do. Then we say the second paragraph because the second paragraph is the yoke of mitzvos. If you keep mitzvos, you'll be rewarded. If you don't keep mitzvos, you'll be thrown out of the land. And finally, we say the third paragraph because tzitzis only applies by day, not at night. So then we say the third that goes third. Tanya learned in a brisa, Rav Shimon Yochai, Omer Rav Shimon Yochai gives a different explanation for the three paragraphs and their order. Rav Shimon Yochai explains, Bidinu, it's logic. Shayaktim Shema Levayim Shemoa, that first we should say the Shema, the first paragraph, and then the second paragraph of Levayim Shemoa. Shazel Lilmod, because Shema contains the obligation to learn. The Zelalamit, whereas in Levayim Shemoa, we have the obligation to teach. So first you need to learn in order to have what to teach. Vayim Shemua Levayomer, Vayim Shemua, the second paragraph is logically before the third. Shazel Lilmod, because the second paragraph teaches us, we should say Zel Alamed, that should be changed. This is about teaching. The Zelasos, and the third is about actually fulfilling, to actually put on tzitzis, vasulem tzitzis, they should make tzitzis. So first you learn, then you teach, then you actually do. So I say, 1 second, not to Shema, in regards to the first paragraph. Lilmod isbe, is it only to learn? Lalamid velasos lesbe, does it not have to teach? Does it not have to fulfill? Vaksiv, but doesn't it say, vishinanta, and you shall, you know, make your children very experts in them. Ukshartam, and you should tie it. Uchsavtam, and you should write them as uzos. It's a lot of fulfilling. Vesu, and furthermore, vayim shamoa lalamid hudi isbe velasos lesbe. In the second paragraph, we only have teaching, we don't have doing. Vaksiv, it says about the second paragraph too. Ukshartem, tie these words on your hands, namely make the tefillin. Ukhsavtem, write these words on the mezuzah. Ella, apparently, we have to change what Rav Shimon ben Yochai said a little bit. Hachikarm, this is what Rav Shimon ben Yochai is explaining. Why are these three paragraphs in this order? Bidinu, it is logic, shetiktam shema levayim shema, that the first paragraph should be said before the second paragraph. Because the first paragraph has to learn and to teach and to fulfill. Vayom Shemoa is before Vayomer. The second paragraph is before the third. Shazeh Yesh B'Lalamid V'Lasos. Because in the second paragraph we have the theme of teaching and fulfilling. Vayomer. But the third paragraph, Ein Ba'el Lasos B'Lvad, only has the theme of fulfilling, and therefore it goes third. So the Gemara says, why do Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai have to give this explanation? Why wasn't it enough for him, the lesson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? The first paragraph is because it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, it's the context. The second paragraph is because it's accepting the yoke of mitzvos. And the third paragraph is there because it's only by day. The Gemara says, you're right, Chada v'od Kamar. There's one reason, and here's another reason. Chada, one reason is like Rabbi Shimon Karcha. First, he should accept the yoke of heaven. Then he should accept the yoke of mitzvos. But another reason, there are these other aspects too, that the first paragraph has three important themes, learning, teaching, and doing. The second paragraph has two important themes, teaching and doing. And the third paragraph only has one theme, doing. All right. Now we're going to talk about another issue, and that is, we mentioned that there's doing in the paragraphs of Shema, the tefillin. And so we're going to learn that there is actually an obligation to wear tefillin while saying Shema. Because if a person is not wearing tefillin in a certain way, he's lying.
Yeah.
He's saying that I have a mitzvah to put on tefillin, and yet he's not.
Yeah.
So a story about this. Rav, Mashi Yadei, Rav washed his hands in the morning. And then Kara Kriyat Shema, then he said Shema, and then Vanach tefillin. Then he put on tefillin, and then Vitzali, then he davened Shemona Esrei. Ask the Gemara, hey, Yavarach, how can you do this? What time didn't we learn a brisa? Achofer kuch lemeis bekever. They used to have graves in the mountains. In the caves. And they would have it in the walls of the mountains, as we learned back in Baba Basra.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone who's digging a crypt for a dead body in this grave. The brisa says he's busy with a mitzvah, patumi kriyashma, he's exempt from saying Shema Minat Tefillah, exempt from prayer. Uminat tefillin, and he's exempt from tefillin. And he comes to somewhere as patur, and he's exempt from all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Higiyaz man kriyat shema. Once the time of kriyat shema arrives, ole he gets up. Veno tol yadav, he washes his hands, and the bride says uminiach tefillin. The kori kriyat shema. He puts on tefillin, then he reads shema umespal, and then he prays. So it's against Rav. Rav da said shema, and then he put on tefillin. Here we see that when it's time for shema, you're supposed to put on tefillin first and then read shema.
Why isn't that at night also? You're saying shema at night.
Mm. It's not the time for tefillin.
And if you say it because...
Yeah, because there's no mitzvah. Because there's no mitzvah then.
There's no mitzvah of tefillin at night?
Yeah.
Oh.
So now, 1 second, the Gemara says, before we get to the question on Rav, Agufa Kasha.
Yeah.
This brisa itself is problematic. Reish Amar Pata, the beginning of the brisa says when he's busy with the digging of a grave, he's exempt from Shema. The Seifa Chai, then he says when it's time for Shema, you should go up and say Shema. Hello, Kasha, it's not a question. Seifa, in the end, where it says you can go up to say Shema is betrayed when there are two people digging the grave. Reish at the beginning that said he's exempt is bechad. There's only one person digging the grave. All right, mikol makom kasha l'rav. But now, why do we quote this brisa? Because it's a problem for Rav. Rav said, Rav actually said shema and then tefillin. But here it says put on tefillin and then say shema. So the answer is Rav could be shuv ben karcha svirle. Maybe Rav holds like our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rav shuv ben karcha says, O malchus shamayim tchila v'yachkachol mitzvos. First, you have to make the context, declare that you accept the yoke of heaven, and then do the mitzvahs. So therefore, he says, first say Shema, and then put on tefillin. He says, no. Rabbi Shimon Karcha l'akum kriya l'kriya. Rabbi Shimon Karcha was only explaining why one paragraph is before the next paragraph. Kriya la'asiyah mishamet le. Did Rabbi Shimon Karcha say you have to make a declaration before you actually do? And furthermore, me several like Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Does Rav even agree with Rabbi Shimon Karcha? Va'amar r'pchiyah bar'ashi zimitzki n'avakam n'kamed Rav. There were many times I was in front of Rav. Umakhtami would wash his hands. Umashi Yadi would wake up early. Umashi Yadi would wash his hands. Umavarich. And he would say first the blessing. Umasnilan Pirk of Birch Sator. Umasnilan Pirk. And he would teach us our lesson. Then Umarach Tfilin. Then he would put on Tfilin. And then Vahadr Kari Kriyachman. Then he would say Kriyachman. Vahitim, you're going to tell me this time that we saw him saying Shema before Tfilin. I'm sorry, if you can tell me this lesson of Rabbi Bar Ashi was B'dolo Matazman Kriyat Shema, that was when he was teaching us before it was the time for Kriyat Shema. M.K. Maya said, that's it, Rabbi Bar Ashi. So then what do I need this big hit? What was Rabbi Bar Ashi teaching us? Of course, he could do it this way. Well, I'll tell you why we needed to do it, why he needed to tell us. We saw earlier there was a whole argument when you have to say Birchas Aktorah. Some say you only say it for Mikra, some say you say it for Mishnah, some say you don't say it for Mishnah. So here he was teaching us Mishnayos, and there's someone who says you don't say Birchas HaTorah before Mishnayos. Kamash Vandaf Mishnayos Mitzorach Levarach. But it's teaching us that even for Mishnayos you need to say a bracha. Okay, but we come up from Kashi LeRav. At the end of the day, though, we still have a problem with Rav. Rav was seen saying Shema and then putting on tefillin. But the Braisa says you're supposed to put on tefillin and then say Shema. So that's against Rav. Answer is, really, Rav would have wanted to put on tefillin. But they came late with the tefillin. Shluchu davis, the shaliach who's supposed to bring the tefillin, the emissary who's supposed to bring the tefillin, he messed it up. He didn't come with the tefillin. So really, Rav would have wanted to put on tefillin. If they would have had tefillin available, he would have put on tefillin and then said kriyat shema. But the sun is rising. This is the time, or it's the end of Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. This is the time is here. There's no tefillin around. So then he said tefillin. He said Kriyat Shema. Then the shliach came in with the tefillin, and then he put on the tefillin. Amar Ula Ula said, "Kol Hakorei Kriyat Shema below tefillin. Anyone who reads Kriyat Shema without tefillin, ki ilu meyid edu sheker ba'atzmo. It's as if he is a false witness about himself. Because here he's saying, I'm fulfilling mitzvot, and he's not doing it. Amar Rabbi Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, ki ilu hikriv ola below mincha. It's as if he brought a carbon ola without the mincha accompanying it. The zevach, the lo nesachim, and as if he brought a shlamim without accompanying it with the nesachim. So I mentioned the great tzaddik, Rabbi Hirsch Fromer, the author of Eretz Tzvi, Rabbi Tzvi Aryeh Fromer, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Schach Lublin, who was killed al Kiddush Hashem, Hashem Yikom Damo. So he has a tshuva in Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi. Is this really the law that you need to wear tefillin to say Kriyat Shema? Right? We sometimes are davening really early. Maybe a person wants the zman for tefillin is after Kriyat Shema. Is this really the law that you're saying false testimony if you don't wear the tefillin during Shema? And he has a chiddush. He says no. This was the law then when they used to wear tefillin all day. So since they would wear tefillin all day, so you always have an obligation to wear tefillin. Here you're saying Shema about tefillin and not wearing tefillin. That's something wrong. But nowadays, the Ramah tells us we are always distracted. So we really only wear tefillin once during the day, because we're always distracted. So since we're only wearing tefillin once during the day, it's not false testimony to say Shema without tefillin and to put on tefillin later. Right.